sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm speaking with Alanis Morissette. And what we're doing today is we're looking at part of the human exploration, psychological and spiritual, through the longitudinal study of her lyrics. Again, and so there's just so much parody and overlay with what New Dimensions is doing. And so from Flavors of Entanglement, in Limbo No More, you wrote something aligned to finally commit. Somewhere I belong because I'm ready to be limbo no more. And the key word I wanted to ask about there is finally. Something along to finally commit.
Yeah. The ambivalence of, well, the interesting thing, if I go all the way back to this one, is this developmental trauma, if I can call it that, is this lack of sense of self. And that doesn't mean there isn't some robust, juicy self walking around. It just means the perception of self is a little wonky. And that comes from having been raised in narcissistic circles where your only existence, in my particular case, in moments, was to serve and was to be the supply and to mirror and to help. And there was already an orientation toward that based on my temperament. So what winds up happening when you're raised in a narcissistic environment is there's what they call this hole in the soul. And what I think the hole in the soul is a challenge around grasping a felt sense of who we actually are egoically. So the developmental of attachment conversation, exploration conversation, identity conversation is where this hits pay dirt. And really what it looks like, if you're going to meet that developmental task in a way that mitigates or prevents the hole in the soul, is to mirror the person. And I didn't have a lot of that. So my existence came from serving. So that sort of explains why that orientation became so robust in my life. But as we get older, all these developmental tasks that weren't met, there's an opportunity for them to get met in our adult relationships and our friendships, you know, and that we can be as vulnerable as asking our friends, hey, in this area, I didn't get this much. Are you up for putting into words what you see? Or someone will say, you're amazing, Alanis. And if I'm close enough with them, I'll go, amazing how? Like, tell me.
Yeah.
So the irony here is that everyone assumes that if you're in the public eye, you're being mirrored constantly. And in my particular case, the opposite was true, because a lot of people would meet me and they'd think, oh, this woman gets regaled with how much people love her and specifically why. So I'm going to withhold that. But what winds up happening is there's a chronic, constant withholding of mirroring. And it happened to be one of the biggest pieces for me. So I'd get off stage, I'd be dating someone, you know, 50,000 people in Italy, I'd get off stage and I'd turn to them and I'd say, how was the show? You know, and their response would be, well, you think 50,000 people cheering isn't enough of an indication of how the show was? But it wasn't intimate and vulnerable and relational. I love the people in my audience. I don't always know them. This person I was dating, I invited him to sort of have a corrective experience with me, or for me to have a corrective experience with him. But he just kind of walked out of the room thinking, if 50,000 people can't tell you who you are, then you have a problem, Alanis. But really what it was that this delicious opportunity to be mirrored comes from these intimate, committed relationships. And Harville Hendrix talks about that, that the degree of healing is commensurate to the degree of commitment and intimacy and vulnerability.
Okay. Yeah.
So really the healing for me as a person in the public eye is very intimate, very small. It's rarely in the larger macrocosmic moments, although a felt sense of sitting in my rightful seat, my birthright seat, is there. It's not always directly healing. It can be cathartic, moving and performing and mirror neuron, taking advantage of that and knowing that if I'm screaming or I'm singing or I'm moving or I'm hurt, that people in the audience can use me for that in the best way possible, you know, so that they can process their own experience and to whatever degree they want at the show, they might not want to.
You mentioned in their first segment too, that art and God are the same thing. Mm. And so this recognizing of filling that God-shaped hole is something that you're so well aware of. And what I would suspect, I guess, flows through you, even when it's just you and yourself or your kids, but also, as you said, in front of 50,000 people.
Yes.
That you're this conduit, that you are also aware of being this conduit. And I think those are two different things.
Yeah. Semantically, what I would say is that I think all of us, 8.1 billion of us, have unique filters, and that the animating life force is coursing through us at varying speeds. And that to some degree, we have to be responsible for the speed with which the life force courses through us. You know, so for me, it's always moved really quickly. You know, and there are a lot of diagnoses that can be sort of labeling what that is, and they're all fun. But it's just being aware that there's a lot of incoming messages. And for those of us who are artists in this way, or channelers or mediums or all the fun words that sort of indicate what we are, you know, it's just being responsible for how much overstimulation can come from that. Because I'm not just stimulated by the world, I'm stimulated by the internal messages. And, you know, so sometimes I just have to do what I call concerted brain rest. And okay. It's usually in the form of a cool TV show. Yeah.
That's great. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, what then would you say that difference between being in the public eye, but then also being the introvert and the empath, and yet having a fast stream coming through you?
Yeah, thanks. So Elaine Aron, who wrote The Highly Sensitive Person and has just been such a beautiful voice of validation for so many of us, somewhere between 20 and 30% of us are highly sensitive. And of that 20%, if that's the number, 4 are empaths. So if you're an empath, you're an HSP, but if you're an HSP, you're not necessarily an empath, is the theory. But what Elaine used to say to me is she'd say, you're an HHSP. You're highly, highly sensitive. And what I think that meant was you're also an empath. Yes, she talks about the idea of a temperament being high sensation seeking or high novelty seeking, which I am. I live to travel. I live to meet new people, try new food. It's just this voracious hunger for, you know, a life experience. And I love offering life experiences to others and dwelling it in myself. But she would often describe when the temperament, and this is mine and many others, when the temperament is introverted, highly sensitive, the acronym of DOES, depth of processing, overstimulation easy, empathy high, subtlety, sensitive to subtleties. So when there's a high novelty seeking quality to that same creature, pedal on the brake and the gas, pedal on the brake right. and the gas all the time, it can feel really ratchety. But stillness and silence is my best friend. Not always as easy to get with 3 children and a very lively community. but it's not impossible. I find it in closets. I find it on airplanes in the bathroom. I'll just take it wherever I can get it. But that stillness really coalesces everything for me, or it'll just indicate what I've been repressing for too long and it's not helping.
Well, I know you have the Triple Moon Tour coming up this 2024, and I'm wondering how then, given this nature and this temperament you have, how you're preparing for this.
I've chewed every single nail off. you know, there's anxiety, but that's just part of working on a tour. We're in the midst of sort of crafting the set list right now, which is a very vulnerable place because it does set a lot of sort of musical and aesthetic preferences out of the gate. So we're in that really delicate, beautiful time of creating the set list. And I'm basically taking all these lyrics with some focus on supposed former infatuation junkie because it's anniversary.
Oh, right.
We're focusing on a lot of those songs and bringing some of those lyrics in and sort of crafting this operatic experience. So I'm excited. I feel nervous in terms of being responsible for my temperament out on tour. The team is pretty amazing. We've been cultivating a connection for over 30 years now. So we finish each other's sentences. We barely speak. We all just sort of, if I raise my eyebrow, we all know what's going, you know, so we're in a great lockstep. But they know that there needs to be a door that clicks. There needs to be an extra room for me to escape to, you know, they know, and they know that I know how to do it. So that helps. But we all help each other out. It's a nomadic community and we're making the joyful noise around the planet. So we have each other's backs completely.
It's so great to have that team that's been with you for so long and knows that everyone knows the relationality. And speaking of what's been with you for so long, I'm wondering, you hear some bands say they're tired of playing the song that they've been playing for 30 years mm-hmm. or the ones that made them famous. And then I think about, I'm wondering what your relationship is to your older songs versus your newer songs.
Great question. I do imbue sort of a personal modernity to each song. So You Ought to Know, as an example, it's like a coat that I put on. So It's permission to feel angry. It's permission to feel devastated. It's permission to feel ambivalent. It's permission to feel enraged, you know? So I will get into that. And there is that sort of impersonal, the sadness, the rage, the pain, the suffering. So if ever the sort of story itself may not resonate with me in a huge way on any given night, I will connect with the macrocosmic of the feeling in my body, and then I will sing the song. But the lyrics always help me. As soon as I focus on the lyrics, I'm completely here.
Amazing. And so whether it's an old song or new song, you can get into the personal or the macrocosm.
Yes. And the good, the great, beautiful, energetic dialogicality on stage is that these songs, I'm giving them here. So I watch the bodies and the energy, and I can see that there's a resonance, and how wonderful, you know.
Will you be doing anything from the storm before the calm?
Likely it'll show up. Yeah. I mean, anything that we do, it's a free for all when we design the set. So they all find their way in. And I'll figure out how. It could be just before we play too, that I play something off that record.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And so that, again, I'm reminded again, the lyrics for Underneath are kind of what you're talking about. There's no difference in what we're doing in here that doesn't show up as bigger symptoms out there. So that
chills.
Does speak to the personal and the macro, the personal, the universal. And so you were in touch with this.
Yes.
I forget what year that came out, but already you were like wanting to say this.
Yes. Well, the micro and the macro are the same, you know, and a lot of people ask me politically, and I've been invited into many political environments, and some of it was titillating, but it's not really my seat. But when people ask me about it, I just think if we can't support the resolution of a conflict with a 13-year-old at a public school, how are we supposed to figure out a way to make that happen between nations with histories of hundreds of years of murderous backs and forth? You know, so for me, it is microcosmic. If I can't take responsibility, as an example, or if I have no self-awareness of how I'm behaving, you know, that's going to result in a lack of grace. And we see the large versions of that, and we see the tiny versions of that. But this messaging of us against each other, better than, less than, we must compete as a way of life. Again, the patriarchal lens. These are taught when kids are pre-verbal. I've seen it. My kids, the messaging coming in that I have to sort of mitigate and adjust. It starts early.
I'm speaking with Alanis Morissette. If you want to keep up with what she's doing next, please visit alanis.com. Or you can get there at newdimensions.org. I'm Travis Glenn Sabera. You're listening to New Dimensions.
My precious gentle warrior, to your sweetness and your strength in exploring, may this bond stay with you through all your days. My mission is to keep the
I'm speaking with Alanis Morissette, and we're talking about her larger body of work and service in the world through looking at her lyrics. So Alanis, in the song Excuses, you have an amazing line: these excuses, how they served me so well, they've kept me safe. And I think that's just such an interesting way to think of excuses and how they might actually be of service in some way to us.
Yeah, the sweetest part of any part of us within that wants to act out or that does act out is that every part within me is attempting to protect me. And sometimes it does it in very unique, non-relational ways. But my survival strategy has often been to just kind of isolate and have that sort of rugged individuality thing that the indoctrination loves to impose on tiny kids all the way up. So this whole autonomousness was so popular, I think, as part of the feminist movement, too. You know, when men went to war, basically, it was like, all right, we can do all of this as well. And so all of a sudden, there's this autonomy movement, which is perfect response to the feminist evolution, but non-relational. So basically, just really looking at these parts that, you know, it might outwardly look non-relational or aggressive, but these are just parts that are acting out. So the more I can connect with these parts and not have them act out, they can act out with me. You know, it's nice to tell that to my kids too. Like this living room is where you go, is where you rage, is where you say the unthinkable thing so that you can process it. And when you're out in the schoolyard or out in the world, you don't have to act it out because you've already processed it here. And it's safe to do that here. So for me, safety is tantamount. And it's in any board meeting I'm in or anywhere I am, is there a psychological safety in this room? Is there an emotional safety? It doesn't mean we're all, you know, holding each other and petting each other's heads, although that would be a great board meeting. but it does mean that there's some responsibility.
And what a gift so directly that you're giving to your three children, right? Mm-hmm. To see them and to hold them and to help them understand what their developing bodies and psyches and relationship to the world is experiencing.
Yeah, thanks. And it's really in response to their questions. You know, the parent, so much pressure on parents to get it right and to be the perfect parent. And I am subject to it like anyone else. But for me, it's just about listening, you know, where is their hair on fire? If they ask me a big question, it means they're ready to hear some version of an answer, you know? So I really go by them. What they're curious about is what we dive into.
That's great. And that really is probably my biggest heart opening when I listen to your lyrics is with the blaze from your newest album With Words. And my mission is to keep the light in your eyes ablaze. And I don't, that's the ultimate service.
It is. And I can't focus on those lyrics too much when I sing them because I'll just weep through that song every time. But that's it. You know, just watching it's the aliveness, you know, and there's so many ways to fall asleep. There's so many ways to deaden. And again, all done from a part that just wants to help and protect, or multiple parts that want to help and protect. But this sense of aliveness is the birthright. So really looking at that, looking at yourself, your multiple intelligences, yourself, you know, our self-expression, keeping that cooking along. But we're figuring it out in real time, aren't we?
We are. And it's like, you know, we've talked about the Enneagram and we've talked about separation. And so some of the ways and some of these different models or systems we have speak to a certain type of disconnection, nice, leading to a certain type of trauma response, and therefore we are this way. What if we do keep that light ablaze too, right? That we do keep seeing, we do get to have direct contact with our experience. And so I just really hear that in what you've said just now as such a call to parenting.
Yeah. This song called Citizen of the Planet, I talk about, or pedestals fill with every parent, you know, because that is everything. I'm going to get choked up, but it is, because that, you know, do we want to spend the rest of our lives? And my kids will, trust me, just healing the messaging that was erroneous, or do we want to spend our lives having some semblance of self enough and really, you know, knowing what our unique contribution is. And it doesn't have to be some bombastic contribution. You don't have to start the new UN, although that's lovely too. But, you know, some contribution that's personal, that uses your unique filter and your unique creature to contribute to this planet. Tiny ones, it doesn't always have to look huge.
Yeah, you're right. And they're still going to have their work to do too.
Yeah, well, we're human
as much as we do our best. We're human They're human. Oh, yeah. It doesn't stop. And to jump into that too with Citizen of the Planet, it really is a call to activism and saying we are here. We are part of it. And what can we not only be with but and take in, but what can we also do about it?
Yes. And those of us who have that sort of visionary capacity, and that's why I'm such an HSP empath advocate supporter, because those are the priestesses and philosophers and visionaries. You know, if we want to move toward a new way of relationally being on the planet, we need leadership. And a big piece of what I do is support highly sensitive people and empathic people to be in positions of leadership, particularly if they're introverted, because it's so counterintuitive to show up in the world when your temperament says stay home and hide. So for me to slowly support the steppings out, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. My theory is that the highly sensitive shall inherit the earth.
Right.
We are the cockroaches of life. We are the sweet cockroaches who care about
we
you.
We will survive.
Or yeah, we will. But yeah, so just supporting people in knowing who they are is a big piece of what I do. And the empowerment that comes from that and that aliveness that I sing about in Ablaze, keeping the light in our eyes.
A question I like to ask, but it doesn't seem totally applicable to you in your inclusion of everything, is if you weren't known for what you are known for, what is it you would be doing with this life of yours?
Great question. Thanks. I wrote when I was about 6 years old that I wanted to be a nurse, a dancer, an actor, a teacher, you know, so yeah. Archetypally, a lot of these I just resonate with. It makes sense. But I would be teaching in some form, sort of affiliative style leadership. And I do it now. So I'm actually doing all the archetypal things that I've wanted to do now. So I think teacher in the therapeutic community, no question. And then something to do with educative updatings. You know, I had the pleasure of speaking with Howard Gardner about multiple intelligence, and I audaciously asked him if I could update. Can I update the model? You know, which is a big piece of what I love to do, is just to sort of go to that searing leading edge of their own, any given author or leader's consciousness. You do this every day. And then bandy about it, right? So...
But you get to do it anyway, and you are doing it. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear what other intelligences you're going to be updating to the model. And yeah, I think that's what I feel grateful for the time that we're alive in, that we do have so many books available to us. We have so many teachers around us that we can actually talk to and hear what's happening in real time. And then... Mm-hmm. If it's in us or if it's available, we also get to be here for what's next.
And right? Participate in the fleshing out of what's next.
You know? In that. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's so many angles to come at this from, this whole human thing. You know, so the wholeness model that I go by is that you come at it, whatever, it's the freeway, right? And the freeway is a circle. And it goes up and down, but the off ramps and the on ramps come on, you know, it could be coming in through biohacking. It could be coming in through hormones. It could be coming through death and grief. It could be coming in onto the freeway from curiosity or a lack of feeling like you're living your real life's work, you know? So there's so many ways to get on the freeway, and we're all on it or we're off it eating snacks. But yeah, so the idea that it can be biochemical, it can be neurobiological, it can be spiritual, all of it, that is coming from all these different angles. And not to poo-poo the egoic identity too, because spiritual teachings for a long time were very, you know, against psychological awareness. And the psychotherapeutic community is very like, I don't know about that energy thing, or the academic community used to be, forget about temperament, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's a big deal. You know, so just coming at it from all these angles and then being around so many thought leaders, and there's so many people I meet who contribute in such quiet, generous ways that, you know, in moments of cynicism and negativity, I think, oh, we're going to hell in a handbasket. Quickly, another part comes in and goes, really, though, things are getting much better. Really, 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 they are.
Yep. This is here too to see. And so as things are getting better again, the lyric again that comes to mind, the natural response of what comes up is giggling again for no reason.
Giddiness, excuse me. And, you know, a lot of us have that curb your enthusiasm. Basically, so many messagings of what you can and cannot be, you know. So, yeah. So many of us were told that don't laugh, don't be joyful, especially in the 90s. It was all about being ennuied. All about being bored and over it and right. turning your back. And so I'm just like, okay, so this is the 90s credo. How do I navigate in this one? Because I was very, you know, I love laughing. And a lot of people would say, I don't entirely understand your traumatic journey because you're always smiling or laughing. And, you know, and to some degree, it's a survival strategy. Please like me so you don't kill me. But to some other degree, it's just a big part of my temperament. To be giddy. So I know that all is well. You know, I've dwelled in postpartum depression 3 times and a lot of sort of activity in that regard. So the giggling again for no reason means that there's some seat that I find where I'm connected with nature and my friends. I'm just connected triadically, like we talked about earlier.
I'm speaking with Alanis Morissette. If you want to see what she's doing next, please visit alanis.com. I'm Travis Glenn Sabera. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3813.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Dean Slider, author of Fear Less. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about how to live beyond fear, anxiety, anger, and addiction.
Did you know that BC's natural ecosystem is one of the most biologically diverse regions in Canada? Indigenous communities have stewarded these lands for millennia and maintained a significant relationship with the natural world. Many of their practices, such as sustainable resource management and knowledge of ecological environments, continues to shape conservation efforts in this province. Come to the next Science World Spotlight on Wednesday, June 19th, between 6 and 9:30 p.m. for a thought-provoking panel discussion on the connections between Indigenous worldviews and contemporary environmental challenges. Head over to Science World's website to find out more.